We want to pray, Lord, today that you would just really work in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, Lord, as many of us just feel pressed and struggling against all the forces that are against us. We pray, dear God, that today you would teach us, Lord, how we can on a regular basis have our souls restored by you. I ask, Lord, that you would just guide our thoughts. Take me out of the way, dear God, and really, Lord, just teach us, Lord, as we look at your word this morning. Open up our hearts, our ears. Take away the distractions, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just really bless now. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you guys open up to Corinthians, as I mentioned, 2 Corinthians. And we are going to dive in. Our series we've been talking about is managing the life entrusted to us. That's what good stewardship is all about, being a good manager. We're going to go right down to our title this morning, which is this one. And by the way, doesn't that look kind of peaceful? Anybody feeling like that this morning? You feeling peaceful, or are you kind of feeling a little edgy? All right. By the way, I want to say something. We had a whole crew here yesterday at church working on our work day. So, man, a whole lot of things got done. We're going to have another one coming up probably in a bit. But a whole lot of great work got done. And I just want to say real quick, if you were part of that, stand up. Come on, stand up. All right. Good stuff going on. And by the way, Cassia, she's a great singer, but she's a great painter. So she has business cards right in the back. No, I'm kidding. But she did a great job out there. And Chris up on the roof, all kinds of things got done. So we praise God for the good things that God is doing. So we're going to dive right in. And I just want to throw out to you guys as we stop and we think about this. Don't you wish you could find refreshment for your soul? Well, I guess I typed that wrong. It says for you soul. But don't you wish you could find some refreshment? You guys remember that? There was an advertisement. Remember they had a Pepsi can? And the idea of that was that you would just be, so refreshed when you had that Pepsi. Well, I want to throw out to us, man, life just beats us up in all kinds of ways. And we need to find that refreshment. And what I want to say is, you know what? You can. And by the way, it's not the Pepsi. I like Coke anyway, but it's not the Pepsi, right? But let's just listen to God's word and we're going to figure out how. So let's talk about that. We're going to dive right in. The eternal truth that you want to walk out the door with this morning is that, God has redeemed us for himself so that we should be good stewards of our spirit, our soul, and our mind for his glory. And here's the big thought, right? God restores our souls as we trust him and as we practice his process of refreshment. So everybody look up for a second. I know everyone's an individual. Some like Coke, some like Pepsi, some like this, some like that. God has a way to refresh our soul. It doesn't involve any of those things, and he lays out the process for us in his word, and we're going to look at that this morning. So I want to just kind of dive in and think about the need that we wrestle with, and I hesitate to share this with you guys because your stomachs are going to start to growl, and you're going to start looking at your watches and everything. But you ever heard this phrase? We live in what's called the sandwich generation, right? And what that means is, a lot of us are caring for our parents, our grandparents, other extended family. We're trying to care for our kids. We're trying to do all this stuff, and we're like that lettuce, cheese, and ham and other meats that are in there. We're stuck between the two pieces of bread. That's the idea of the sandwich generation. And I want to throw out to us, here's the challenge, and you can kind of put this down in your mind, in your bulletin. There's cares everywhere. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Right? There's issues to care about, think about, some of us worry about, we're concerned about, we wake up thinking about it, we go to bed thinking about it. There are cares everywhere. And I'll share, as a pastor, Pastor Ansu and I, we could both be the poster child for this problem, right? Like, our families have stuff going on, you got stuff going on, we all got stuff going on, there's no end to the stuff going on. And here's what happens, while that's going on, guess what happens? It really gets in the way of us growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of times, here's our problem. There is very little depth to us, and we're not getting any deeper because we're just getting stretched thinner and thinner. You know how that works? It's hard to get deep when you're getting stretched thin, right? And that's what happens. There's little depth. And I'll throw this out. What happens when all the pressure's on in our lives, one of the first things that goes out the window because you're running out the door so fast in the morning is that time that we need to spend with God to get our heads screwed on right and get our thoughts right, our hearts right, and our souls where God wants them to be. And that's the big challenge, isn't it? So that's the issue. And here's the result. The result of all that, of living in the sandwich generation, is our soul is tattered. What's tattered look like? Did you ever see a flag, you know, or it could be like the American flag, some other flag, a sports flag? Did you ever see a flag that stays out in the wind for a long period of time? It's just like all ripped to shreds on the ends. That's how we look. And guess what? That's how we act, too. And here, by the way, here's a symptom of being tattered in our soul. Anybody a little short with anyone this morning? Think about it. You know what I mean, right? Someone asks you a question. How are you doing? What do you mean? Why are you asking me that? Right? You know, or, you know, we stop saying the thank yous and the pleases. You know, we're a little rough around the edges, we call it, right? You know, some people say, don't talk to me till I get my coffee, right? And it really ought to be, don't talk to me till I get with Jesus. Maybe it'd be a better way to think of that. You know, and he doesn't come in a cup, and he doesn't come in different flavors. But that's kind of the challenge. Our soul is tattered, and we're a mess, and we're short with our husbands, our wives. We're short with our kids. We're short with the people we care about. Sometimes we want to strangle them, all those things, right? That's a tattered soul in the works. And if we're honest, that's probably a lot of our souls. It's probably what's going on, right? So I want to stop and just think about that for a second. Here's the deal. You know what? There is restoration for our souls. And I want to say this, by the way. If we continue the pathway of the tattered soul, it is very destructive. To our relationships, to our own health, you know, to our cardiac health, to our other health, our mental health. A tattered soul is going to tear us up. You know, God created us, right? We talked about it last week in three parts, right? Body, soul, and spirit, right? Or body, mind, and soul. And they kind of overlap as we talked about last week. And if we don't have one of them messed up, it affects all the rest. It spills over into everything else. So we got to find this restoration for our souls. And the first thing I want to share with you guys this morning quickly is this. Some of you are probably saying, I'm skeptical. You know, I read this book, I read that book, I tried this, I tried that. Nothing seemed to work. And we all been there, right? We've been ripped off. You know, we know how things go. We know things are promised and don't deliver. We know how that all feels. But I want to say this, you know what? With God, there is a possibility. It is possible, and it is a fact it can be done, that God can restore our souls. And, you know, just real quick, by definition, we said this last week, the soul is our personality center in which the mind, the will, and the emotions operate. And by the way, that's quite a pot of items, right? Think about this, where your mind, your will, and your emotions operate. That's like a pressure cooker right there, isn't it? Because think about it. What you want in your mind, your emotions get revved up about those kind of things, right? And then, by the way, our minds hopefully are being refreshed. Pastor Anthony is going to teach on that next week. Hopefully our minds are being renewed. But, you know, we may know what God wants us to do, but sometimes we just want to do what we want to do, right? And this place of the soul is where all those things kind of come together. It's the place where decisions are made to follow the spirit or follow our own desires, and the soul is an eternal thing. And I want to share with you right off the bat, check out 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the passage that was read by Moses. Look what it says. It says, Blessed or praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. By the way, that's just kind of his name, right? So who is God? God's the one. He's the Father of all mercies and the God of all comforts. And look what it does. It says, who comforts us in our tribulation that we might be able to comfort those who are in, and look what it says, any trouble. Right? God's able to do that. And look what it says, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Everybody look up. Get this in your minds, right? Anybody feel like your suffering is abounding? There's a lot going on, right? We just talked about, right? We're feeling sandwiched by all these things, all these demands, all these needs, all these issues, all this stuff that we're wrestling with. The sufferings are abounding, but look what it says. In God, guess what? The consolation or the comfort is as well. You can have all the suffering in the world, and God will give you all the comfort in the world to offset that suffering and stabilize you and me in the midst of all this stuff that we are wrestling with. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up. Here's the thought. You know what? If you're real young, you may not feel burnt out. You may not feel tired. You may not feel threatened. You may not feel crushed. But when you live life a little while, you're like, dang, it really is true. You know, and I want us to kind of get a hold of that this morning. There is a possibility. God is the one who is able to comfort us. And by the way, notice he says all our tribulations, and he can comfort those who are in any trouble. Anybody in any trouble, God's the one who can bring us back and restore our heart and our soul. And that's the place we got to run to. I just want to share this, and we looked at this the last couple of weeks, but I want you to get this in your mind. But we look at this passage all the time, and we focus in this passage on all the bad stuff. And I underline that, by the way, that's in bold. It says, but we have this treasure, by the way, that was the gospel for Paul and the Holy Spirit, in earthen vessels. And he compares us as people to a clay pot. Anybody have any clay pots? Are they really enduring? No, right? You drop it, it's pieces. You let it sit outside through the winter, it begins to crack and fall apart. Just like us, right? It's a pretty fragile thing. And you know what God's saying? We're a pretty fragile thing. But inside us is the power of the living God. You know, that's a different thing. And he says these words, and this is what we get focused on. We're hard pressed on every side. You feeling the pressure? By the way, it's kind of like this. You hear that phrase people say, the walls feel like they're closing in. I can't escape. But I want to say this. In every case that Paul describes that's bad, he comes back with, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, asking God, why? Why? Why is this going on? Why is it going on in my life? But we're not in despair because we know God's on the throne. He's in control. And he says this. He says, we are persecuted. Yep. Christians, we feel it more maybe this day in America than we ever felt. But we're not forsaken. God didn't say, I'm out of here. Handle this on your own. God's right there with us in the midst, right? He says, we're struck down sometimes. And we feel that even with illness or whatever it is, we feel struck down. But look what he says, but not destroyed. In other words, we're struck down, but guess what? In God's power, we're going to get back up. Right? That's what he's saying. So this restoration is a possibility, and that's not only a possibility, it's a probability if we do what God asks us to do. And we're going to skip right on down. And I want you guys to think about this verse, by the way. How many people love 3 John? Yeah, you hardly ever read 3 John, right? 1 John is really good. John the Gospel is really good. 2 John is really short. 3 John is even shorter. But look at this comparison that John writes. He says, to the elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So I want to say this. A couple things I want to take out of that passage. Here's one. Our soul can prosper. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody out there, no matter what their degree is or what their background is, your soul can prosper even in the midst of being pressed down, being struck down, and being destroyed, right? Our soul can prosper. But I love this comparison. Look what he says. He says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. So I want to ask you guys a question, and we'll pick this up at the end today. Would you like your health and the rest of your prosperity to be in the same state as your soul? That's the problem, right? Yeah, Gloria said it, right? So here's the question, right? Are you feeling like your soul is prospering? Because I think a lot of us, if we said, boy, if my health were equivalent to how my soul or my mental health is, I might be over there, not in church today. When I say over there, you know, the hospital's right out back, right? So if our health, right, was prospering like our soul is for a lot of us, we'd be over at Virtua Willingboro or some other place, right? And that's the scary thing. But here's the challenge. John, as he writes this, he says, I want your health and everything else to prosper like your soul is evidently prospering right now, Gaius. And I hope, by the way, we can fix our souls so that we can make that comparison and say the same thing, right? That's where we're going to go as we dive in this morning. So the possibility's there, right? Here's the next thing real quick, right? The person, and we kind of looked at this the last couple of weeks as well, the person, right, is the good shepherd, Jesus. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And I skipped one. What one did I skip? Oh, he restores our soul. So there's a person, right? We understand it's possible, but everything drives us to the person of Jesus because he's the one that has the power to restore our soul. It's not going to be a drink. It's not going to be a diet. It's not going to be some self-help book. It's not going to be any of those things that are going to make you suddenly be restored in your soul. It's going to be God himself. And we want to skip right on down. And, you know, by the way, he said that. Remember, we looked at this verse too, right? Remember, Jesus said this to all the Jews, the Jewish leaders, and the people, he said, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. By the way, labor and heavy laden here, these people are just overwhelmed with the weight of trying to do it themselves and trying to keep the law. And Jesus said, stop! Everybody look up for a second. Stop. By the way, tell me. Stop, right? Here's the deal. Stop trying to do it yourself, right? Stop. That's what he's saying, right? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will, future tense, definite, find rest for your soul. So it's not about us running around trying to do everything and filling ourselves and strengthening ourselves. It's about going to the source, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, whose yoke is easy and his burden is light. Right? That's the point. That's the person. And we're going to keep on going. So there's a pathway here as well. And the pathway, and by the way, we try to do this again. This is that problem of self. The pathway is I can't do anything unless I am plugged in continually with the Lord. And that's what John 15 tells us, right? It says, I'm the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. We looked at this last week, right? This idea of abiding in Christ. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Isn't that the truth? How much can we do without God? How much can we do well without God? Right? Not too much. And by the Bible says, by the way, zero. Zero eternal lasting value without God. And I want to share it with you guys. See those sunflowers up there on the screen? I had a chance. I took my uncle this past week for chemotherapy on Thursday. He lives in Lancaster County. And then there's a farm. I went. I picked some apples while he was in chemo and whatnot. And they had sunflowers. $2. I thought it was per flower. It was for the whole plant. So I said, I'll take two. A dark one and a light one. Could make them into a nice bouquet, right? So I cut. Guy gave me these big loppers. You know those big things. So I thought I was just gonna cut a little flower. I thought it was gonna be a pair of scissors. Cut the flower off. No, take the whole thing. I took the whole plant, whole plant home. Two of them. Put them in the back of my car. As I get ready to pay, the guy said, "You know what? You better get them in some water pretty fast." And I said, "Do you think he'll make it to New Jersey?" And he said, "Yeah, I think so." When I came home, and by the way, I had some drinks in my car. I had a couple water bottles. You know, I even had a body armor because I drink that, you know, when I run. And I could get the stem into the body armor bottle, right? So I cut the stem off again. You're supposed to cut the stem off again. And I poured out I drank the body armor, poured the water in, jammed the flower in. And guess what? When I got home on Thursday night, my beautiful sunflowers looked like this. And I'm like, man, you know, what are we going to do? So we cut them off again, put them in some more water, and they kind of perked up. But guess how they look today? Right? That's how they look today. Right? They're in new water, but they're keeling over. And I want to say this. That's us. Right? We know we got to stay connected to God. But we keep trying to do it without God. And it doesn't work. And what happens? We kind of look like how? Everybody, make the motion. How do we look when we work without God? Like that, right? We're kind of keeled over, right? And that's exactly what's going on in our lives, right? We are trying to do all these things without God and not restoring our soul every day. And eventually our soul looks like that tattered flag. And we are a mess. And sometimes we can't even go forward. It becomes a crisis that we don't want to have, right? So here we go. What's the process? And I want to throw this out. There's kind of seven things. You could probably shorten it to three or four, but there's kind of like seven things that we need to kind of think about on a daily basis if we're going to have our soul restored daily so we can get up, you know, Monday's coming. Tomorrow's Monday. Sorry. Monday's coming. But we want to get up after Monday and do Tuesday and Wednesday and the rest of the week, right? But what are we going to do? Here's some thoughts. Seven steps to restoration. Here's the first one, right? Apply God's principles from Scripture. By the way, that word is chosen very carefully. Not just read, not just look at, but apply God's principles from Scripture. And I want to share with this verse with you guys. We know it well, Hebrews 4:12. Look what it says about the Word of God. And I'm going to try to apply that to us in a second. It says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart." Now, how does that add up? How does that apply to what we're talking about? Well, here's the deal. And the Bible says this, by the way, in Jeremiah chapter 17. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So here's the problem. A lot of times, I don't know my heart. You don't know my heart. Jane doesn't know my heart exactly either. I don't know hers. But by the way, a lot of times we think we can read minds. We really can't. We really struggle to do that. But here's the problem. Sometimes I need God's word to really get into my heart. By the way, sometimes like every day, I need to get God's word into my heart so that I understand my motives, my thoughts, and my intents about why I do what I do and act like I act and think like I think and say like I say. The word of God's got to kind of get it in there, and it's got to reveal what is really going on. Does that make sense? And nothing does that like the Word of God. Nothing does that. Like, nothing can do that
I know we have a husband or a wife, and they kind of know us, and they see some things. A lot of times we don't want to listen even when they see, right? But when we see God's word, and by the way, you've been there, right? Sometimes God will speak to your heart, and you're like, duh. You know, and God just reveals what's going on. So we need to really apply God's word. It needs to be something that every single day, God's word washes our soul. And by the way, God's word washing our soul, it's a little bit like, you know that two-in-one shampoo? You know, it kind of washes out the dirt, and it's supposed to, like, restore your hair. I hope it really works, because I could use it, right? And some of you all could, too. But, you know, think about that. But God's word, it not just cleanses us, but it refreshes us, right? It refreshes us. And we need that. We need to get that principle going on a regular basis. And by the way, I want to tell everybody, look up. Don't just wait till you retire so you can get up and have a leisurely morning. Somehow we got to get God's word into our heart so that we live to retirement. Okay? That's an important thing. Next thing, right? And by the way, these are actions. Apply scripture. So we got to get it. Think about it, let it take us apart and put us back together, right? But we got to appropriate prayer. In other words, we got to make prayer an action that we do if we're going to restore our soul. And I'll throw this out. By the way, you read this verse sometimes, people are like, by the way, this is a verse you always read at the hospital as a pastor. People are going through health crisis, all kinds of stuff, and you say, be anxious for nothing. And they go, what? Do you see where we are? Right? But look what it says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, meaning request, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's the thought. And by the way, this is me. How many people wake up, and as soon as you wake up, your mind goes to, what do I need to do today? How many folks do you wake up? And by the way, if you lay in bed too long, you start to get nervous about getting it all done. You're like, and it's almost like, you know, you wake up and you're like ready to jump out the bed. You might not be able to eat. You're probably going to get a shower, I guess, and brush your teeth, hopefully, and then you're going to be gone. But what happened? We fixed up the body, but the soul is still a mess. Right? Because we didn't take it to God. And I'll throw this out. Think about it, starting your day with a sense that today God has everything under control. And that's what he's talking about. He says, just give God all those worries for today. Give God all those fears for today. Give God all that anxiety and leave it there. And then go. And that's challenging, isn't it? But that's what the Lord wants us to do. And by the way, I'll share with you guys the book of Mark, chapter 1. Remember Jesus? There's a story of Jesus. And he's up all night. It actually says these words. It says, and basically, everybody came to Jesus the night before to get help. Everybody. And Jesus is up late. And the disciples, by the way, are stressed. They're us. Jesus is 9. Jesus is 10. Jesus is 11. Jesus, make them go away. And Jesus keeps doing what Jesus does. Not rushing, just dealing with the needs of the hearts and the bodies of people, right? What happens the next day? The disciples wake up. It's finally all done. They wake up, and Jesus is nowhere to be found. Where'd he go? And guess where he went? It says he woke up a long while before it's the day to pray and to talk to his heavenly Father. Right? And again, appropriating prayer. Son of God models that, right? Number 3. Add God's perspective. Look what he says. And by the way, here's the thought. So you can get up. Everybody, look up. You can get up, right? Maybe you read the Word of God. You use our Devo from First Baptist. You read Daily Bread. You read through the Bible, your three chapters, or whatever you do that day. And hopefully, by the way, you kind of jot down some thoughts or write it down. But check out what he says. And he says, finally, brothers, and this is, by the way, the next couple of verses in that same Philippians passage. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, what's it say? Yeah, meditate or think on these things. Everybody look up. You wake up, you start thinking about all your fears, all your worries, all your issues, all your to-do lists for today, and you are just like ready to go, like something's wrong. Like your soul is not stable at that point, right? But look what he says we got to do. Keep thinking about the fact that God is in control. He hears you. He knows your need. He's the God of all comfort, who's able to comfort you in all your tribulation, and he will never leave you nor forsake you in whatever happens the rest of the day. So this idea about adding God's perspective is, okay, we wake up, we get in the Word, we go to prayer, we appropriate prayer. Now we leave and get into life by adding God's perspective. We keep thinking about those things that are good, positive, godly, promises from God, and we enter our day with God's perspective. Right? That's an important thing. Otherwise, my soul, I can, by the way, how many people have woke up, read scripture real fast, because you're going, shoot, I got to be out in like 10 minutes, but I know I got to read my daily bread. Because I want to check it off. I did it. You know, and by the way, I'll throw this out. How many people have read your daily bread in the morning, and when you get home at 6 o'clock at night, you forgot what daily bread said? Anybody been there? Or you read your Bible. That way it could have been you read Charles Stanley. You read, you know, read his devotional, Insight for Living. You read Days of Praise. You read Daily Bread. You read The Word for You Today under FBC's version. You read all that stuff. But you get to home that night, you don't know the first thing what any of that said. Because we did not add it, God's perspective to our lives. We didn't meditate. We didn't think about it. We didn't. And I'll throw this out. Here's a helpful way. How do I do that? Write something down. Say it again. You know, go over it. Meditate on it. You know, the idea of that word, meditate, it's kind of the idea of like a, like, you know, a cow has multiple stomachs. I forget the exact number right now. But, like, it keeps getting digested and digested and digested and digested and digested and digested. Right? That's what we got to do with God's word. We got to add it to our perspective, right? So, what next, right? How about this one? Acknowledge God's presence. Again, very much in action, right? How do I acknowledge God's presence? Well, here's the deal. Here's, by the way, a number of scriptures on all these, but we'll look at one. Psalm 139. Look at the psalmist, David. He wrote this. He said, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, guess what? You're there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning, by the way, a lot of days I like to take the wings of the morning, and as the psalmist we looked at said last week, and do what? Fly away, right? But he says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. So get this in your mind. Whatever you're going through this week, guess what? God is present. He's going to be there with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to let you be on your own. God's there, right? Keeping on going. Acknowledge God's presence. How about this one? By this way, this is kind of a new one. You don't maybe see this one so much, but how about this one here, right? Adopt a life of praise. Amen. Adopt a life of praise. That's the praise team. Glory. Amen. Praise, you adopt a life of praise, right? Yeah, but that's helpful, right? And look what Psalm 89, Psalm 100 is great too, but it just says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. And I want to throw this out to us. If I begin to praise God in everything for what he gives me, I begin to forget about what he didn't give me. Isn't that true? Isn't that true, right? Like, if we make our life about praising God for what he did give and what he is doing and what is good, we're focusing on that stuff, right? It's kind of like that adding God's perspective again. We're taking the word, and then we're giving it back to God, saying, thank you, God. Look what you did today. Is your life perfect? No, but look what God did to get you through today, right? You know, it's this idea. Adopt a life of praise. You know, by the way, in the Western world, we adopt a life of, I want more. We count what we don't have a whole lot faster than what we do have. You know, save on Thanksgiving. At least we try to count it right then, right? You know, but we gotta adopt this life of praise more. And I'll throw this out. You hear like, by the way, anybody listen to that radio station called K-Love? A lot of people do. By the way, whether you're young or old, it's kind of like this place is like a lot of great Christian worship and praise songs, right? Some of it you might like, some of it you might not like, all different styles. It's, you know, it's kind of encouraging. It's got a nice beat. It's good, right? And they actually have a challenge out there. The K-Love challenge is don't listen to anything else for 30 days. And they say, let us know, has your life changed? And I want to throw this out. A lot of times, if you're in a hurry to get somewhere, and by the way, I have two maps on my phone. I could look at Apple Maps. I could look at Google Maps, and I could find out, you know, what's going on with traffic. Can I get there? Is it going to be good? But a lot of times, you know, you'll turn the radio on the car in the morning, and you're worried about what's the weather and what's the traffic. So you turn on KYW, right? You know, as an example, that's the radio station here locally, right? And you hear, by the way, the weather, the traffic. You hear it multiple times an hour. And you hear all the other bad stuff that's going on in the world constantly around the clock. That's going to really prepare you well for your day, isn't it? You won't get stuck in traffic, but God knows what's going to happen in the rest of the day because your spirit is really not restored. But if I listen to praise songs, if I sing praise songs, if they come to my mind, right, my perspective on life is just a whole lot different. And I think that's something we got to do. We got to adopt that life of praise if we're going to have our spirit really restored to get the day going. Now, here's a hard one, right? Because people let you down. They don't always do what you want. They don't do it the way you want. They don't do it when you want. They don't do it how you want. But guess what? Allow people to help. And that convicts me. It probably convicts all of us, right? We like to do things our way, right? Sometimes we say, it's just easier if I did it myself. Anybody ever say that? Here's the problem with that thinking, by the way, is that you will, for the rest of your life, do it yourself. And at some point, you're going to want help. Yeah. God gives you strength. Amen. He does, right? But check it out. Allow people to help. You know, church is a team sport, you know, and God made it that way. By the way, he didn't call one disciple, he called 12, and then he called up to like 120, and now it's in the millions of billions, right, over time, right? But look what it says. He says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, we are supposed to be here for us as an impetus to be godly, as an impetus for goodwill, good feeling, help, all those things. Encouragement, right? So don't try to do everything yourself. And it, by the way, this is like me speaking to me, right? Because I like to do a lot of stuff. I like to be busy. But guess what? We're too busy for our own good a lot. If we can't spend time with God, we're too busy. And a lot of us were there, preachers included, right? So the process, Allow people to help. Okay, here's the last thing, and then we're going to sing in a minute here, but how about this one? Accept God's power. Accept God's power. And I love this prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3. By the way, in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, my prayer is that all you other people would get a sense of the power of the living God. That's what he says in chapter 1. In chapter 3, he prays that we might understand the love of God. And he says this benediction, which is, by the way, this ought to be our benediction every day. This ought to be your benediction every day that you live on earth. Because look what he says. He says, now, after he's prayed all the laundry list to God, what he wants, what he needs, right? He says, now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know what that says? That says there is no problem you have or I have that God can't help with. And if you have, maybe you're like going, I don't know how God's going to do this. Because you ain't God. Everybody get that idea? I don't know how God's going to make this happen. You're not God, neither am I. But he is. So God's going to find a way, and it says to do exceedingly abundantly above what you might ask or think. God's going to do things in ways that you could not conjure up, dream up, imagine. You know, in a million years, God has a way to do what he's going to do. And that, isn't that a good way to pray? So when I think about accepting God's power, every day when I wake up, And I lay all the issues that I got, all the concerns, all the fears, all the worries, all the everything. Guess what? Hopefully the last thing says, I remember that God can do exceedingly abundantly above what I could even think. And again, it gives me strength. It gives me strength. And I want to just continue here for a moment this morning about reordering our lives, okay? So by the way, those seven steps, they're very doable. By the way, it's out there on YouTube. I'll print it up for you guys. You can take it with you if you need it, right? But here's the bottom line. If we're going to restore our soul, we got to reorder our lives. And I'll throw this out. I have come to that conclusion in my life. I'm doing a million things, caring for a lot of people. If I don't reorder my life, here's what's going to happen. I am going to die very busy and unrestored. And I mean that, right? And here's the question. What will change in your life to make it more easy, less stressful, with less wear and tear? Unless I change what I'm doing with the Lord, what's going to change my life to make it better, less stressful, less wear and tear? Anybody got any ideas? How are you suddenly going to revolutionize your life without God? And the answer, I think, is you can. I can. It is more likely that you will die busy and broken if you do not take the responsibility for your own soul. It's true. Isn't that true? You know, God can do anything. We got to be willing to let him do it. So if I don't take responsibility for my soul and my soul care, nobody else is. Isn't that true? If I don't say, wait a second, my life needs to change, your boss is not thinking about your soul care too much. Probably. There's maybe some exceptions. There's a believer, they're a believer. Maybe they are. But guess what? The more you do, the more they're going to give you. Your family, same way, right? The more you do, the more they're going to ask. By the way, even your church, I think about this a lot. A lot of times, by the way, when you come to church, automatically at church, we're always looking for somebody to help us do something. So you might be coming to church looking for, man, I just need some peace and relaxation. And we say, oh, we're so glad you're here. Come on over here. Right? And we ought to be good stewards of our gifts. We talked about that before. But guess what? If you and I do not steward our own souls, nobody else will. Nobody else will. And you're going to die busy and broken and miserable and probably a terrible testimony for the Lord ultimately unless our souls are restored. Right? That's the bottom line. That's the stewardship that God's looking for. So I'm going to throw out to you guys, let's adopt these 7 steps. What do you think? You know, in sports, right, when it goes really bad, what happens? What does a coach do when the game's going really bad? They call timeout if they can, right? They call timeout. And I want to challenge you guys. If anybody is going through what many of us are going through, it's probably time to call timeout. And it's time to say, let's assess what's really going on. You know, I'm going to the gym. That's a good thing, by the way. If we take care of our health, the overflow flows to our soul. But we got to take care of our souls. And the only one that can restore them is Jesus. And the only way he restores it is through his word, through his prayer, through his praise, through his perspective. And I got to get that into my life every single day. And by the way, I realize there are emergencies. You get a phone call and somebody's ill and you got to run right now. You know, yeah, we might pray while we're driving or whatever. But as a general rule, right, the preparation is what makes us win the game of life. And I want to encourage us, right? Let's be stewards of our souls. Amen. So we're going to ask Rosemary and the team. They're going to come and they're going to lead us in a closing song. And by the way, I want to throw out to you guys, if you have any needs and you need help with anything, please grab me and Pastor Ansu at the door. If you need help, please, you know, reach out to us, our deacon, by the way, or even a neighbor in the pew. Because most of us here know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to be that resource for each other.
Stand, everyone. As we cannot live life or do life without God, let us think and reflect as we go into our week, as we continue to sing, Lord, I need you. We need you, we need him in every aspect of our lives. Please join us as we sing.
Isn't that a truthful exclamation right there? So true. You know, I just want to say two things. Yeah, I love the song we just sang too. When we pray, especially with our Liberian sisters, they say, and Chris Bo, you're one who says this a lot. You say, when praise goes up, blessings come down, right? Isn't that kind of cool? It's really true.
It is.
And I want to encourage us as a body, right? If we begin to allow God to restore our soul, there is no end to what God is going to do in our lives.
Amen.
But I want to challenge all of you, and I want you guys to challenge me, right? And people hate this word, accountability. Let's hold each other accountable to this, that we are going to steward our own souls.
Amen.
Right? So if you say no, or if I say no, I'm not being mean or mad or any kind of way, lazy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we got to say no. And sometimes we just need to make sure we get that time with God so that the rest of the day can go well.
Amen.
And some of you say, I can't get up any earlier, then do it the night before. Like, find that time in your day where you're going to get your soul restored to get ready for the next 24 that are coming. Amen? By the way, you saw the deacons running around. All kinds of thoughts crossed our mind. We have a geyser in the ladies' bathroom. Water's coming out the drain. I'm not quite sure what that's all about. So that bathroom, if you really got to go, use the handicap bathroom, which is right around the corner. It's not shooting out like a geyser. It's just kind of flowing out. I hope, right? I hope. So we'll take a look at that. In the spirit of what we talked about today, there's always something. But there remains a God on the throne who's going to get us through, even if it's plumbing. Pastor Anthony's going to come. He's going to pray us out. I want to remind you guys, right? We're having our fellowship at the park. It is a glorious day. Hope we'll see y'all at Pennington in just a little bit. Pastor Anthony's going to pray us out this morning.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come and fellowship and learn of your word, O God. Help us, O God, to just rely on you, O God, to lead us to refreshing our soul spiritually, O God. And that, Lord, we just get closer and closer to you each day. And that, Lord, we need to carry on each day of our life. We just thank you for a wonderful time of worship. And as we disperse, O God, to meet for our fellowship time in the park, we commit our time of fellowship together. And Lord, you come and be glorified in our midst, O God. We thank you, and we just bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.